Broadcasting System cordially invites all adventurers from 6 to 60 to join in its parade of the world's most famous stories. Stories of action,
mystery,
and adventure. And here is your host and storyteller, the leader of Adventure Parade, John Gregg.
Thank you, George Hogan, and hello, adventurers. Our story this week is about a group of pilgrims who sought refuge from religious persecution in Leiden, Holland, and then set sail for England in the Speedwell, where they were joined in their voyage to America by another ship, the Mayflower. Now back to Southampton Harbor in autumn of the year 1620 for the final transcribed chapter of The Bells of Leiden Sing.
My father's books. Mother didn't want to take them along, but Elder Bradford did.
The books are aboard?
Yes.
Mother made a bargain with Elder Bradford. 80 tubs of butter and cheese from Leiden, she said. You put 80 tubs aboard, or I won't pack the books.
80 tubs of fresh Leiden butter, each one worth £2. Andrew Brewster, Andrew, my thanks you, lad.
Pastor Robinson, you're not going to sell the butter.
Of course, lad. It was a splendid idea.
But what will Mother say?
The next morning, 55 tubs of butter and cheese were unloaded from the Mayflower and the Speedwell and carted off to Southampton Market. Everything was in readiness to set sail. And when a swarthy sailor with a long black mustache darted past the King's Guard up the gangway, Pastor Robinson gave the signal.
Hold my car, Captain Jones! Our second mate's arrived!
Hold my car!
Pastor Robinson!
What is it, Andrew?
You said there'd be news of my father before we sailed.
There is all the news you need, lad. Don't let grease paint to the false mustache fool you.
I don't understand.
Look over there. Our new second mate, waving to you.
The passage to America was still not meant to be smooth for the pilgrim. Once and then a second time after leaving Southampton, the Speedwell signaled distress, and they were forced to turn about and land on English shores again. Then at last the Mayflower set sail alone, with somehow or other a goodly number of the Speedwell's passengers and gear crowded into her. The ship's hold was not large enough for the baggage. It was everywhere. Andrew's own chest was lashed in a dark space between decks at the end of a passage, and here he often made his bed. In good weather, it was pleasant, but when the weather was bad, the chicken coops were piled nearby, and the hot, wet animal odors made the air thicker. The weather, for the most part, was stormy, almost from the beginning. Cold porridge, a pickled egg, a little Holland cheese, and a snatch of half-cooked bacon, a hunk of cold cabbage and a cold turnip, was all the food allotted to each person per day. There was no butter, of course. Precious few tubs remained, and these were being hoarded for the new world. Pangs of hunger, accompanied by fits of nervous temper, grew steadily worse, like the seas and the driving wind. Halfway across, the real difficulties began. The wind blew from every corner of the heavens, and cross-board struck. The waves battered and rammed the deck. None of the passengers were allowed outside. The portholes were kept closed. One sailor died and was buried at sea. And after the funeral, Andrew sensed a kind of fear beginning to steal over the crew. One bitter cold afternoon, a wave swept up and over the whole length of the ship, and water suddenly leaked down on the hapless passengers crowded in the cabin. The ship groaned and creaked, and with a sound like a cannon shot, there came a sinister cracking.
Captain Jones, the beam in the main cabin is splitting!
Captain Jones rushed in to see the damage.
A good post set firm on the floor here is what that beam needs. If we had an iron jack of some kind, we might spring the beam back into place.
What else Captain Jones said, Andrew never heard, for he was running down the companionway to get his chest, but it was wedged fast and tied with innumerable knots.
Help me! Help me, somebody, please!
Oh, yes! And the ship breaking in two above us! Are you just glad?
The sailors would pay no attention to the frantic boy, but suddenly Andrew saw the swarthy second mate.
Help me, Father, please, help me.
Yes. What is it, Andrew?
I'm trying to get the screw of the printing press. I brought it, and we can use it to brace the main beam.
The screw? The great screw, Andrew?
Yes, Father.
Oh, thank God.
Hold there, sailors!
Aye, sir.
Lend a hand here, and make haste.
The screw of the Brewster press was in place. That firm on wooden blocks, it held the beam above it in position. But for how long it would hold, no one knew. The pilgrims were for going off. Captain Jones, although he didn't oppose their plans, did not fail to advise them of their danger.
If Sherwood is holding the beam, it looks like a good one.
It is, sir. I saw them cast it, of the best Leiden iron.
Well, it seems we must take your word for it, lad. However, if we go on, it'll have to stay where it is. Well, we'll not be able to fashion another beam in America. It will have to stay for the voyage back to England.
Then it must be so. The screw is yours, Captain Jones. Somehow, some way, I'll find another printing press.
iron screw where it stood in the shadow of the heavy block, then stumbled outside with his dog Pompey scooping at his heels. The sailors were going about their business, for the captain had given them their orders, and Andrew could see the torn sails being replaced with new ones. The wind pushed at the snapping canvas. White water began to foam at the ship's stern. The Mayflower continued to sail west. Andrew picked up Pompey and held his warm body, first against one of his cold ears and then against the other, trying to stop the ringing in them caused by the bitter air.
It must be my imagination, Pompey, but I can almost hear the bells of Leiden singing. They must be ringing now over the city. Israel the bookseller hears them. Rembrandt does. Professor Polyander. Even old Squinteye, if he's there too. Pompey, I think I'll always hear them in my memory.
Didn't they?
Yes, George. They had to fight for what they wanted. Freedom of speech and worship, both of which are worth fighting for. Now about next week.
I was just going to ask you what you were doing.
Well, next week we're doing the exciting story of a man who carried a message through the enemy's ranks under constant fire. It's Michael Strogoff by Jules Verne. Now till Monday, so long.
So long, John. We'll all be listening Monday. Same time, same station. For chapter one of Michael Strogoff by Jules Verne on Mutual's Adventure Parade. Adventure Parade is produced and directed by Robert and Jessica Maxwell. Music is composed and played by John Garth. Bells of Leiden Sing was adapted for Adventure Parade by permission of Longman, Green & Company.